I don't even know. Like, if I did, if I kept all the wild tangents you guys are going on, I feel like that would just be the entire podcast. That would
yes, yeah. That is why. Boy. That's why I invited him to do the podcast, because we make good content. So the episode.
We make good tangent content.
Yeah.
Okay, the episode. I'm all ready. Right. I'm in all it. Right.
And welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie. And I have a little surprise for you, Zachary.
A surprise?
I have a surprise.
Like a present?
See, because here's the thing is anytime that we've had a guest on, they have been like experts of the show. They are fans. But I wanted to bring in somebody who is on equal standing with me. That is why I decided today.
Oh, you wanted to bring in another little dum-dum?
Hey, don't say that. That's rude.
You're gonna make me laugh earlier than I've been introduced.
Shush, Christian, he doesn't know you're here yet. Hello, everybody. So this is me introducing one of my best friends, my best bosom buddies, and somebody that reminds me a whole heck of a lot of Matt Smith, Christian B. Schmidt.
Whoa, hey. First of all, my wife also said they were like, if you were a doctor, you'd be Matt Smith. And I was like, that doesn't mean a lot to me because I don't know the franchise that well. But it does mean a lot because I have a lot of respect for the franchise. Oh boy, this is going really smooth so far. I don't want people hearing this and being like, "Oh, this guy's a hater." They brought on their first dumb. This guy's such a dump truck little dummy. He doesn't know anything about Doctor Who. He doesn't respect
Doctor Who.
Look,
you put him in his own head,
and that's not the case.
Well, why don't we establish a proper baseline for you here? What do you know about Doctor Who, if anything?
Okay, well, I'm gonna get a lot of things wrong, so I'm gonna try to speak in a sort of general sense. Right. I'm aware of and I'm immediately gonna use the wrong term, but I'm aware of the sort of regeneration aspect.
No, that's
of,
the right term.
His existence.
You're right. Yeah,
sweet. With justifying different actors with slightly different takes, but it's all the same character, mm-hmm. which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love that the Doctor's name is not Doctor Who. Their name is The Doctor. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, we either don't know their name or can't pronounce it. I could be getting that mixed up with Ford Prefect's real name from Hitchhiker's Guide, similar property. Fun fact, actually, real quick, is that Douglas Adams, who's the creator and writer of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy franchise, he was a huge Doctor Who fan, and like the original series was kind of a thing when he was making his original Hitchhiker series.
Yeah, he actually wrote a couple episodes of Doctor Who.
Yes, he did, and he wrote one episode that then didn't get made, and he turned it into the third Hitchhiker's book. So the third Hitchhiker's book, Life, the Universe, and Everything, has like, it doesn't have like Doctor Who in it per se, but it has sort of a vibe. And like if fans of the franchise Hitchhiker's Guide know like Slarty Bart Fast from the first one with the hilarious name, he kind of takes the Doctor role in the third book. And it's really interesting. And it's not my favorite book in the franchise, but only because the first one is so freaking great. And I know that he travels around. I know a lot of the basic stuff. I know that he travels in his phone booth, and I know that it is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. And I know that
you've absorbed a lot through cultural osmosis about it. Yeah, you know the real basics of the show. Okay, I mean that was I think more than Cassie knew when we started.
Yep.
I think Cassie the only thing Cassie knew when we started was just David Tennant is in it.
Yes, and I do know that as well. Yes.
But we are starting, Cassie specifically wanted you to watch an episode with Matt Smith in it, and we are currently in his final season as the Doctor. And so we kind of had to get you in here as fast as we could. And I thought this would be a good one to get you on for. This is, series 7, episode 3, A Town Called Mercy, which is, to my knowledge, one of the few times Doctor Who ever does a Western.
Ooh, I love, I mean, as you folks know, and our listeners might not, but Cassie and I were in a Western comedy play. It was an original work written by Tahereh Miller and April Brewster, directed by Dane Kearns in January of 2019 at the Long Beach Playhouse, called Heroes of the West. And that show
was
so much fun.
Six and a half years ago.
Just shut up.
I've had the softest spot for Westerns ever since we all did that together.
Yeah, and that was obviously I'm making an association because you were one of the featured actors in that play. So there's a part of it that's like, oh, that would be fun for Christian. I'm like, I actually don't know if he cares at all about Westerns or if he just played a cowboy once.
No, you're I haven't seen a lot of them, but I love the aesthetic. I love how little they would like me or respect me if I existed back then. But there's something really fun about, and I've continued doing like cowboy characters. I'm on a sketch comedy team, a little plug. I'm on a sketch comedy team at the Pack Theater called Kickball. And I've done like two sketches as like this cowboy who's like basically the same guy, but he's not called the same thing. And it's also basically the same character that was Hank when we did Heroes of the West in 2019. So I got like one cowboy guy that I can do really well.
Got one cowboy in your back pocket.
I mean, the good news is because we were poor, Christian said, hey, I'll buy my stuff. And me and the other costumer went, thank you.
And like, I've gotten a lot of use out of it.
Excellent.
Like, truly, I was just in like a short recently, not like a big, like, I don't want people hearing this and thinking whatever. It was a really small, little, stupid little friend project. That was a lot of fun. And I was wearing the duster in that. So like that cowboy costume stays eating.
It's getting its miles in, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting its miles in. I love cowboy stuff. I love sci-fi stuff. This sounds like an absolute treat. I also want to say I've never seen a Matt Smith episode of Doctor Who before. I don't know if I've seen any full episode of Doctor Who. I've certainly seen a lot of clips on like Facebook and such for like the past half of my life, and which are great and a lot very informative. But I want to give Matt Smith a quick Morbius shout out. That movie. What's your policy on like bad language on this podcast?
No, you say whatever, like, you fucking want to.
that movie sucks balls, but. Matt Smith is great in it. And that little scene when he's dancing by himself in his apartment,
that's
like
the
he's
only
so alive
scene
and so
I've,
free.
That's the only scene I've seen.
That's all you need to see.
It's the only scene you need to see from the movie. Like, truly, it's like that scene happens way late in the movie. And as you're watching it, you're like, oh man, I wish I was following this guy the whole time. So shout out Matt Smith. You rock in Morbius. And I hope that I see you in like a lot more like.
Yeah, he's such a talented actor and they keep giving him. Until Game of Thrones came along with its spinoff, they really didn't give him good stuff to like. It was like Doctor Who,
that's true.
The dregs, and now it's Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that is true that he did just get Game of Thrones. That's good. He deserves big screen stuff, though. I don't know.
He deserves
a treat.
I
saw Morbius on the big screen. He looked great up there. Morbius sucks, by the way. This is no plug for Morbius.
This is a plug for Matt Smith's scenes in Morbius specifically.
Yeah,
this
go
is
on a plug, Instagram.
Yes, which you can find. Go on Instagram, go on YouTube, type in whatever you gotta, and you're going to see it.
Whatever you gotta.
Matt Smith, dance boy.
Well, so now we got the kind of a baseline here. What sort of thing might you be expecting from Doctor Who doing an Old West episode?
Is this
Cassie?
A question? Okay, a question for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I would expect this to be pretty tight. And what I mean by that is just something that is very self-contained.
Yeah, I will say up front, part of the reason I thought it would be fun for Christian to come on this one is this episode. Honestly, a lot of this season is really self-contained. Like the back half is a little more plot heavy, but the first half, especially, like every episode's really kind of different from one another. They don't really carry any like season long arc things in them.
Yeah.
So I think
that's a great way to do a season.
Yeah.
In
so
my
I think
I
that
love,
So I thought this would be a good place for someone to just like, if you're going to watch an episode, this is a good, like, you don't have to know much going in.
We're going to drop you in on
totally,
a thing.
Totally.
Because we did the show together, I so heavily associate you with Westerns, which I think is also really funny. That my brain has just gone. I feel like when a mom finds out that their kid likes like the color green, and then everything is like, oh, he's obsessed with green. This kid fucking shits green.
This kid that you know, he rides horses and shoots guns all the time.
Yeah, no, that's what it is.
I want to color myself in a little more just for your listeners, for anyone who doesn't know me. Like I first of all, I played this crazy cowboy character that I do is just like an insane person. He shouts like half his lines and like he's just like crazy.
You're describing yourself.
You can already tell from the sound of my voice and like how neurotic I seem. I am not strong. I am not brave.
If I may be so bold, I think my computer is white balancing to you right now.
Whoa.
To the level of
that's a hilarious joke. yes, I'm a very pale, skinny guy. I'm extremely neurotic. And it's very funny that Cassie has like this cowboy connection to me because of this show that we did. And I'm honored because I loved that character and I loved that show.
Here's the thing. It's a joke that it's a joke that me and Zach say that where like he is made in a very similar factory as input any bearded white guy.
Yeah, if you know the different the assorted Chris's that they have in the Marvel universe, I'm made of the disposed parts from that factory.
So like Zach is made in the same factory as them. I'm made in the same factory as Anna Garcia. I think that's fair.
I would say
like I want to be a Natasha Lyonne. I simply am not.
I was thinking of oh my God.
I feel like you could be a Natasha Lyonne, but
thank
that's
you.
Just
I just don't sound like a rusty clarinet. That's all I want.
Like, okay, well, like I guess the sound thing is like its own aspect of it, but like I feel like even Natasha Lyonne would agree that like the sound part isn't everything.
No. But definitely Anna Garcia on Dropout. But and like, take this as you will. I feel like you, Christian, might be made in the same factory as like a Bo Burnham on looks alone.
Yeah. That's first of all, it's very kind of you to say, because I met Bo Burnham after a show like 11 years ago and he is like two full people taller than me. Because I had gotten that comparison a lot. And then as we were getting a picture together, and he, by the way, he is so nice. My friend Casey was like, yeah, we always call him your doppelganger. Which I was like, oh, why would you say that? I'm like meeting Bo Burnham right now. Don't say that you call me his doppelganger. That's a weird thing to say. Bo Burnham instantly, less than a second later, Bo Burnham is like, more like my doppel shorter.
Which is probably a joke he gets to tell a lot, because that man is like 6'7".
Yeah.
He is extremely tall.
He is the model they use for the wacky inflatable arm flailing tube men.
Truly. Like they were like, we need just like a really fucking talented, tortured guy to model for us real quick so we can make some things that can sell some stuff, like some used cars.
Yeah. Also, we need a human twig. A twig bug, human version.
I was going to say Aubrey Plaza is the factory that makes you.
Yeah.
Aubrey Plaza for Cassie.
For Cassie, yeah.
I could see it.
Yeah, we've got a very like the wish.com version of April and Andy going on over here.
which by the way is a great dynamic, and knowing you personally, obviously you are much more three-dimensional than those characters. Yes. That is like,
so let's get to the episode a little bit here proper, now that we've spun a yarn, as it were. Let's get into the Cassie Perfassi a little bit here. Christian, if you're not aware, every episode I ask Cassie two questions about something that happens in the episode, and I try to get her take as a matter of, this is a podcast where the points don't mean anything. They just are where she holds all of her self-worth as a person.
Yeah. I have gotten 117 points out of 184.
And today I'm going to make today's.
This is incredible.
today's episode, I'm going to make the Cassie for Fassie a competition because I'm going to ask you the same questions here, Christian. You who knows less about the show. And I'm going to see, and we're going to see basically who, if you with your experience makes it better, or if Christian with his open mind can get him to
open mind
can get us there. So in this episode, when the doctor arrives at a town called Mercy, the doctor knows something is afoot when this old West town has access to something it shouldn't. What do you think it is, Cassie?
He has access to something it shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're running out of time, I can't banter. Fuck. Has something it shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You can banter a little. We got like 5.5 minutes of banter.
I was going to say guns, but they absolutely don't have guns.
You know those famous old West towns with their lack of guns.
I would say, just because we are spacey, I'm going to say lasers.
Okay.
Or like, ooh, either lasers or robots.
Okay. So you're thinking like some sort of like far future tech.
Yeah.
Okay. So like lasers, robots. Okay. Do you want to take a guess on that? Christian, I can repeat the question for you if you need.
I also went, so I didn't necessarily go robots, but I did think, you know, like if there's like a setting that seems like it's a little more old or at least like old fashioned, then it's like it's more jarring when they have like, yeah, like, I don't know, laser guns or teleportations or holograms, stuff like that.
Okay.
Robots does make me think a lot about Westworld. And I love that first season of Westworld. Second season's pretty good. Third season I kind of dropped off. But if it is robots, that'll be a lot of fun. For me, kind of hard to imagine. This is going to sound like such a stupid question to your listeners, but like, how often is it like magic versus science? Like, would you say that it's like kind of equal, or like,
I mean, they try to make it sciencey. There's often times where it's like, this is sci-fi posed. This is fantasy posing as sci-fi.
It's truly okay, the okay, moment where you watch the doctor regenerate and he's surrounded by golden sparkle lights that you go, this is not science.
it's that thing of, what's that? There's some great person who said, that like, magic is science that we don't understand. So good for them, whoever they are. So
oh, yeah,
whatever,
any
dead, smart person said that.
Any science, it's like something that's really like any technology of advanced enough intelligence is indistinguishable from magic.
Right.
Wow. Big brain over
that
here.
That is a fun. I've always loved that. And that's why I was like, I mean, I do like that, like the MCU has like real magic and stuff going on too. But like in that first phase of the MCU from like 2008 to like 2012, I loved all the, they were like, yeah, like the Asgardians are actually just super advanced aliens, and like all the stuff that they do is just the result
of
this
advanced
technology.
A lot of science fantasy rather than like straight up.
Yeah. And they're like, and we're not going to explain like almost any of it, but we're going to say that it's science instead of magic. And then like, I'm sitting, yeah, I'm watching it from the audience in high school being like, hell yeah, brother. So I guess it could be something kind of magic-y posing as science. Gosh, it's hard. Maybe like they have an animal that they're not supposed to. Like maybe they have like a Bigfoot.
Okay, so we've got like, we were sort of saying like some sort of future tech, and you think there's a straight up alien, like an alien animal.
Like
of
maybe
some kind.
Maybe they have like a Bigfoot or a Loch Ness monster. Like they have like a cryptid.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a real guess, but I'm just trying to make a little interesting content.
I mean, to like, because you saying that is getting my wheels running of like, what if their like cattle is some kind of like far off alien? It's like, oh, that should not be
space cow. Yeah.
Like in Futurama, how it's bugs.
It could be like a black hole or a wormhole, maybe like in the ground somewhere.
In the middle of the town. That's the collapse of the universe.
But the mayor's keeping it real secret. It's this whole thing stinks all the way up to the mayor's office. And the mayor's like, well, now that you know about our black hole in the ground, doctor, I'm afraid that this is the end for you.
I gotta push you in the hole.
Yeah, and the doctor looks at the doctor looks at the camera like Jim from The Office and goes, yeah, we'll see about that.
It's either something like that or something really simple like indoor plumbing.
Yeah. That's also eerie. Yeah, like just something small, like they go, like they all have like flat screens or something. Like even like anything,
just something really anachronistic.
Anything anachronistic. Anything anachronistic.
They're all on iPhones.
Be, like, made scary.
Playing Candy Crush.
What if? Oh my goodness! I can't wait to find out.
All right. Well, now so we've got that locked in. So you, so it's some kind of future tech and some kind of alien animals. What we're going with here. So for the second part of the Cassie for Fassie today, in a previous episode, we learned that the doctor can speak baby.
Yes. Yes, we did learn that.
In this episode, we learned that the doctor can also speak the language of an animal. And to clarify for Christian's question, it is specifically an earth animal.
Okay.
Horse. I'm going to guess horse. Although I would enjoy horse. Cow as well. I would enjoy cow as well.
Yeah, Christian said horse. I'll say cow because I think that's fun.
Okay. So we've got a horse and we've got a cow. All right. We will all find out as a trio.
Mom was proud. She didn't know how. A little cow and chicken reference.
All right, we will find out together what exactly is going on in this town that raises the doctor's suspicions, and also if the doctor speaks horse or if he speaks cow.
Or chicken. Fuck.
As we watch A Town Called Mercy. Today's episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by
The Man Cow, the most powerful cow in the galaxy. You know him by his classic catchphrase.
Moo! Moo!
Now, back to the episode.
And we are back from A Town Called Mercy.
Can I just say... that anything that takes place in a Wild West town, I don't know if it's just because of my, like, my exposure to it growing up, because I was very into gold. I was very into ghost
very
towns.
Into gold?
I was very into, like, ghost towns, like, gold mining. Not autistic, but there were signs. So anytime I see stuff that takes place in a Western town, though, it looks very much like a facade to me, because I know it is. Mm-hmm. But I want to find, like, an earnest, like, actual like Western town and just put it up against the shit that is on every TV, every movie, every episode of a television show, because this was not giving Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, I feel like we're also our perspectives have been shifted by driving through the Universal Studios tour where they take you through an Old West set. And so you can just sort of see it.
I just want to say, like, in the lame kind of vapid, like, oh, like, the filmmaking's great, but I love filmmaking, and, like, there's, like, something kind of special about, like, watching an episode like this, and, like, sometimes the town looks a little more, like, real and lived in than, like, other times, but, like, that's, like, how it was in, like, Old West movies, and, like, I was like, oh, this is, like, it feels like it's not only, like, accurate aesthetically because they're getting all the props and stuff correct, mm-hmm. but, like, also just, like, in terms of, like, how the town kind of feels like a set at times, like, also felt like a cool, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but, like, seems like it's made by smart people, so maybe?
Well, this is...
And, yeah.
So this episode was filmed at two different locations in Spain. One of which was the set for The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, or a set on The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So it's got some actual Western pedigree. And the other one,
that
the other
cool.
of the two sets it was on, is also from the classic Western,
Blazing Saddles
music video for Depeche Mode's Personal Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Dang. Two things of equal...
Two things that Clint Eastwood loves equally.
Two things that Clint Eastwood had 100% hand in making. That is very cool to hear. And it did feel like what I said before. There was something kind of like old school feeling about the look, like from like obviously old school real life, but old school like Westerns and such. And that's just very cool. And it was I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, especially I mean, you haven't really had. You obviously don't have this vibe off of it because you haven't seen a lot of the show, but the show doesn't do a lot in America.
No.
Like, I think there's been across the seven seasons we've watched, I think there's been maybe an episode a season, And one of those took place in an underground bunker that's supposed to be in Utah, but we don't ever see Utah.
Can I be really, oh, nice. Can I be really, really honest?
Sure.
I forget that the Wild West is very American.
Yeah, it's very, like, you honestly get the vibe watching this show, remembering that, because a lot of it, I don't know if it's just a thing for Stephen Moffat or if British people make fun of us for this. Every time they come to America and Stephen Moffat is in charge of the show, they bring guns. There's a lot of guns.
Yeah, I went to Edinburgh for my honeymoon back in August, and wow, I'm telling the story so slow. We saw like so much comedy, and it was great. And we went to the Fringe, and it was incredible. And we saw a lot of very awesome comedy, and so much of the comedy, if they like ever like went in the direction of like, you know, making a jab at America, it was always like something gun related. And I was like, oh, my Lord. Like, I mean, we deserve it. Not we, us, but like the country's earned it. Like,
I mean, you got us.
But
you
it
got
was
us
still
in
disheartening.
It's like they like, sometimes they'll get us with that fake Texas. Like they think we all talk with a Texas accent.
Like we're all from down south.
Like some
that
like
honestly I like, because for some reason boy, like, read this how you will, like, that makes me feel a little superior, because whenever I hear someone in the UK speaking, I'm always like, oh fuck, they sound so smart, I sound so stupid, I have this voice, what is this voice, this voice is slap, they have their great sophisticated voice, but then they're like, oh yeah, we go to America, oh, this is my American cowboy accent, and it's like, haha, you guys don't know what an American accent sounds like, dipshits.
Yeah, idiot, get it right. But then they're like, guns, and you're like, oh god, my one weakness.
Yeah, I definitely, yeah, so I'm out there, I'm yelling, definitely looking like a secure person. I don't really do this, by the way, like, obviously this is a bit, but like, when they do the gun thing, I do feel like a little bummed out, like, not like on a personal level, but I'm like, ah, man.
Like, it's one of those
we did
where,
earn that.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like, man, I wish this wasn't so funny, because it's true.
I know it's not the UK. I have a friend though who lives in Australia, and she was like, "Why would you all vote for Trump?" I was like, "We didn't. I didn't. I need to make
solid,
that very
solid
clear."
Australian accent.
I mean, because like high key,
we're doing a lot of Australian accent work tonight.
Australian accent. Like there are some things that I can like really do, because like she and I have a very like disparate relationship friendship where like we will send each other snaps every so often of us like talking. So whenever I do hear her talking, I'm like, OK, cool. Take notes. Write it down.
Yeah.
The only thing I can really do well is say the word Australia. Australian accent.
It's a great accent on there. I think you're doing great work. And I just want to say, just to tie to the tangent that you had said, I also am like, I don't know, like when I go out of the country all the time, not really. When I go out of the country, it's very important that I'm like, no, I didn't vote for that guy. I didn't vote for that guy.
Yeah, I wear every color but red. I'm like, I don't.
And the thing is, I love wearing red. I gotta like wear like maroons and stuff, which I'm not bummed about, but it's like once you wear it past a certain brightness, like you're that guy.
Like I feel bad for all like Red Sox and Cardinals fans. Like their hats are like,
yeah, they're like, ah, geez,
all people from
what?
A distance are like, oh, is that
Doctor Who?
Speaking of hats, segue right here. Speaking of hats, I really liked the little moment of them. I just wrote it down as a hat choreography in the share or in the Marshall's office, mm-hmm. where it was Marshall handing the doctor the hat, doctor handing it to Amy, Amy handing it to Rory, Rory handing it back to Amy, Amy handing it back to the doctor.
It's a hot potato.
Yeah, there was no that. It was nonsensical in a way where I went, all right, I'm glad this is here.
Focus on a basic here. What did you guys think of the episode overall? I feel like we got on some tangents already. And we
I,
had next to talk
yes,
about that.
Yes.
I liked moments in the episode.
Okay. What about you? What about you, Christian?
I liked it. I think I liked more of the ideas than maybe the actual story, although I didn't dislike the story. Mm-hmm. I do want to make that clear. It was a little, this is just my own stupidity. It was because it was unclear to me exactly what the situation was, and that's like by design. The like it's not like a murder mystery episode, but it is like a there's like a mystery to solve. And
yeah, then
like
there's some revealed, there's some unfurling secrets.
Yes, when it when the major like cyborg like secret was revealed, I was like, oh, like I get that. Like I didn't fully understand if it like needed to like be in like a cowboy setting for that story, but I also liked I don't know, like now the more I talk about it, the more I'm like remembering parts that I that I enjoyed. Obviously it's like it's always annoying when you're watching something and there's like scared civilians and they're like being aggressive, but like it's also an important part of like the fabric of the story. But funny moments for us, like when we were watching it being like, oh yeah, like this guy's like pointing the gun at the doctor, like little scrawny guy looks like me pointing it at like the doctor.
Yeah, that was the part that I was like, wow, this guy does kind of look like, we had joked about you not fitting in an Old West setting, but then this character shows up and he just looks like you in a bowler hat.
It's yeah, it's because like there I would assume that there's a lot of people, and this is not a dig because I love myself Lizzo style, but I would assume there's a lot of people who kind of look like me who watch the show. Like, what's that mean? A little pale, not athletic.
You can
who
say
look
nerds.
Like me, who like to see characters. I don't know if I'm smart enough to be a nerd. I'm like, I feel like I might be too stupid. I might be like geek. I might be too stupid to be nerd though.
All right, we'll say dork then. How about dork?
Yeah,
dork feels right.
Dork. Dweeb is another good one.
Dweeb is good. Dweeb's a little meaner, but like dork's fun.
Loser.
And then someone tries putz to sound smart, being like, you know, the dork means whale penis, and it's like, man, we got a pervert in the house every time someone says that. A whale pervert over here.
What did you mean by you liked moments, Cassie?
Like, there were so, because I'm such a fan of the aesthetics of like Wild West. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's just because of my like underexposure to actual like Western, especially like in film, mm-hmm, because I really like the West from a historical standpoint. but truly, like the Wild West and like gold mine era, like that portion of history is just so interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. And I think so you have the media taste of a boomer going through a midlife crisis.
Oh, and World War II. Love it. I'm just an old white
World
dad.
World War II in the Old West.
I'm a white dad. We've been through this.
You're listening to the Doobie Brothers, listening to your Steely Dan. Shout out Doobie Brothers. Shout out Steely Dan. Love them.
Friends of the podcast, Steely Dan.
Yeah.
Friends of the podcast, not Morbius, but definitely Doobie Brothers, Steely Dan. Love them. Matt Smith was dancing in those too.
See, with my dad rock, with my 80s hair metal. So there were some times like I really liked the look of the gunslinger, mm-hmm, like a lot. Mm-hmm. If for no
yeah,
other
the prosthetics
reason
were fantastic.
Oh,
it was very like I know I kept saying throughout, I kept saying, baby, that's Westworld. Like, for those listening who aren't as familiar, like there are two Westworld properties. There's a movie and then like there were sequels. And then there's also like a TV franchise, which is like a little more removed in its own thing, its own continuity. The gunslinger in this episode looks like he might be called the gunslinger in Westworld too. Like Yul Brynner plays the main villain in the first original Westworld movie and is like basically like this Terminator guy who's kind of following. He's stalking the main characters throughout the movie. And he looks like not entirely dissimilar to the gunslinger in this. And which I loved. And all throughout, I kept saying, baby, that's Westworld. And it's a great, and it was very like practical too. I mean, like it was a great practical looking, like cyborg cowboy costume. I mean, what more do you want? It's a robot cyborg cowboy. And he looked exactly right.
And they found a really interesting way to like, they're threading a needle in a way, because he's not just a cyborg. He's an alien that's been turned into a cyborg. So they can't just have they can't just have him look like a guy. So they found a really interesting way to like thread a needle, which is that they gave him like this discoloration in his skin that isn't quite human. Yeah.
He was almost like
it's pink. It's a little Star Trek. Yeah.
Yeah. And his face, and they like shaped his face just a little off, like they filled in his cheeks more.
Do you think that they did that? Like, do you think that they went with the alien route because once all the prosthetics were attached, it just like looked so alien that they rolled with it? Or do you think their intention was always to like have him like be from like an alien planet as opposed to like,
I almost knowing the premise of the episode, like how the story plays out, I feel like it would have to have been an alien. But if you had told me that they just sort of like went with it, and that was why the design for the aliens was just let's stick a gang tattoo on their face, I believe you.
I think maybe they should have done this, but like if this was like an isolated narrative and like its own, you know, universe, like there is something interesting to me about like if he wasn't an alien and was just like an unwitting, you know, old West guy, and now he's like, you know, like looking at the town that he's too ashamed to like re-enter because he thinks he like looks like a monster. And so I thought that was going to be an angle for a while. I was a little bit thrown when it turned out to be an alien, but also I know what show I'm watching, so like I was able to roll with it good. I also think there's like something interesting in there of like the, oh, I see them every day and it's all because of that guy. And now he's living in the town that used to be my town. And now that alien scientist is living in there.
Now, do you think they went out of their way to find an actor with the most pillowy lips? Or was that just...
I mean, I think they might have needed to just because the prosthetics were going to smooth some of that out. Were you just looking at him like, man, I want to smooch that cyborg?
Well, because like I was thinking more about like the visual components. I really liked the distressing on the costume itself, mm-hmm. his like bandolier. I also like that we got a visual on like what he sees. Mm-hmm. I always think that's really cool.
I like his big super soaker for an arm.
I did like his.
Yeah,
his
that's super awesome. Soaker. I'm like looking at pictures of him right now and like. He definitely has lips. I'm going to point it at the screen. I recognize our listeners aren't going to be able to see this, but like he like they don't look as like plumpy as I thought
in,
that they
in
would.
In the makeup and the specificity of like the way that they like modulated his voice, I was paying way more attention to like the way his mouth was moving. Cause I was trying to figure out if the voice was coming out and they like fixed it in post. Like there were some things like that where I went, this is almost good.
It's very not uncommon for in things like obviously I'm speaking to the audience who might not know this, and a lot of them probably do. But like, you know, when you're watching a movie or a TV show and there's an actor who's wearing a lot of prosthetics, it's a very common practice to do ADR, some additional dialogue. Where they go into the booth and they literally voice act for their own, you know, shots because the prosthetics can make it hard to enunciate certain things, you know, the same way that you would in your day-to-day life. And so there definitely, I think, were moments in this. And again, this is not a dig or anything like that. Yeah. This is extremely common practice.
Yeah. It's just like, the way you got your actor, face isn't, you got your face isn't meant to have more face on it.
Right, exactly. You got an actor with a second face on his face, gigantic lips, you know, and this super soaker arm. Some of the lines are going to be like 80 yard in for clarity.
The world's heaviest monocle. I could definitely see them having to do a lot of ADR, not even because of the prosthetic, but because they're having to put that effect over his voice every time. So I could definitely see that they probably had to do a lot of ADR for that character. So much of the episode centers around just like how cool the gunslinger is.
Yeah, the implication too at the end of the episode is that he's like still out there.
He protects Mercy all these years later
because he was built for destruction, and says that he's going to go and self destruct. But they go, whoa, 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 whoa! What if you protect a peace now?
He's like, I have no place during peace, and the doctor's like, except to protect it.
Now the question is, do you think the American government has discovered and seized that technology?
Well, here's the thing. He's apparently a U.S. Marshal. Do you think the U.S. government sends him a check in the mail every month for doing the U.S. Marshal Service.
Whoa. Yeah, wait a second. Okay, so if he's still alive, like, he doesn't have to eat. You know, he's got a robot stomach or nothing. Like, he doesn't have to eat. He doesn't have to sleep. He can just, like, exist. Like, yeah, like, does he... If he got paid, which I'm thinking probably he doesn't, like... But, like, if he got paid, what would he even, like, do with it? Like...
He just buys gibbets for his different, for the holes in his gun.
He buys, like, fridge magnets to put on it.
Yeah.
Do you think that when movies and stuff were developed, like, because obviously, you know, time passes and technology grows, do you think that he was like, oh, I kind of want to walk into the town and see, like, a Fast and Furious?
One for Tokyo Drift, please.
Yeah, he's like, he's got a you know, a disguise or something that he puts on so that the U.S. government doesn't find and sees him. A disguise,
as if his voice wouldn't immediately give him away.
He's got, like, sunglasses on, but you can still see the blaring blue light through one of the lenses.
You sound like you're talking through, like, a little monster toy right now, like one of those little voice changer monster settings.
Hello, I am a regular human.
See, I think part of his movie theater disguise is going and wearing, like, cat, like, kitty cat pajamas or something, like, really unassuming.
He comes in one of those giant rubber T-Rex suits.
Yeah. They're like, man, I gotta tell you, like, yeah, T-Rex suit's good. Him showing up like he looks but wearing, like, Hello Kitty pajamas is either gonna be received really well or it's going to be received even worse than if he showed up in his trench coat. Like,
you're gonna be like, either gonna be like, aw, or,
Yeah, you're going to be like, what is up, my man? How can I help you today?
I think at that point, it depends on what movie he's seeing. Mm-hmm. So if he's in little kitty cat pajamas seeing Frozen 2, okay. He's in kitty cat pajamas seeing Sinners. Huh.
Now, my question about the gunslinger is, do you think that they just make the cowboy hat in Space 2, or did he find that off of somebody?
Oh, he definitely took
it. That was something I was thinking a lot about, too, because I thought he was going to be, like, from Earth originally, or at least, like,
yeah, because he's definitely dressed like a cowboy.
Yes, he is dressed the part. Like, he went on Etsy and was like, what does the most badass cowboy in the world look like? And they were like, here you go. And he got all the things, the handkerchiefs and the little, you know, the... all the little fabrics and the big coat, and he's got the right hat on. Like, he is so pissed off and, like, wants to kill his essentially, like, kidnapper and, like, creator in, like, a fucked up sense, like, in the cyborg sense. But at the same time is not above having a little fun with it, with, like, the local culture.
He's like, I'll say it. Gunslinger was pretty cunty.
Yeah, like, he's not so pissed that he's like, because, like, if I was like, I mean, listen, like, no one could pick, like, this is a sci-fi insane scenario, like, but, like, if I'm super mad at my creator and I'm like, I can't go home and he fucked my life and I really want to kill him, and I'm, like, stalking around in the desert, like, I don't know if my priority is, like, being like, but I gotta, like, look the part, like, hell. I'm looking around this town and I gotta say I am liking the cut of their jib.
he was just on his way, and then some, like, guy in a wagon was like, wait, you can't go killing your father looking like that. You gotta put some spurs on those boots.
You gotta put on some platforms, baby.
They already know that he's some weird, like, sci-fi thing, like, that can, like, come in and out of the air. And, you know, he's got his glowing eye and he's got a super soaker arm. Like, they know that he's sci-fi, but he's like, yeah, I better put on my disguise.
Like, they'll never catch me.
I got to put on my disguise, even though I'm not going to, like, act like a cowboy at all after this.
One of his arms is, like, twice as long as the other. They'll never catch me.
He's playing the brooding gunslinger part, but he, like, isn't trying to. Like, he's just, like, pissed off at the scientist.
That's just him.
But, like... Like, he's just pissed off, like, cowboy clothes or not. But then, like, he goes the extra distance, and I like that. I like that he, like, isn't so revenge driven that he can't be a little fashionista.
He can't serve looks. He still has time. What did we what did you guys think of some of the other characters here? Like, we had I think Collar Jex is the other most prominent guest character.
Nazi.
Yes, that's the character that I kept saying as like the scientist the whole time. You are right. Collar Jex.
Yeah, Jex definitely has some like
Nazi.
Like Arnim Zola in the first Captain America movie.
Yes.
Like those vibes.
Yes, yes, yes. Very much.
Very Toby Jones.
It is Toby Jones.
Yes. And they put the dark mark on his face so you knew he was a bad guy before he said anything.
Yeah.
I liked his little fake out.
I loved
his little fake out of like sleeping in his cell. Mm-hmm. And the doctor's like, yeah. Well, if anybody, they're like, this is exactly the place I would want to be, isn't it? As he turns around and
that's like classic. That to me, I mean, maybe it's like just in Blazing Saddles, like, because I can only think of Blazing Saddles right now. But I'm like, oh, that's classic cowboy. But like, maybe, hey, reach out in the comments. Is the only other Western movie to do the sleeping guy pretending to sleep in the jail cell? Is the only movie to do that Blazing Saddles? I highly doubt it. But sound off in the comments.
I can't remember which one, but I think one of the Dollars trilogy with Clint Eastwood. I think he does it in one of those movies too. I can't remember which one. It might be The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, but I'm blanking. I always watch all three of those at the same time, and so they kind of blur together for me sometimes.
You got to do that gag. I mean, like, when you're out there in the West, like, you only got so much to work with. Like, if you're not gonna have someone pretending to sleep in a jail cell, then like, how else are they gonna make a freaking entrance?
Yeah, I do like the sort of central conceit that he had to do like there. So you don't know this, Christian, but there's a sort of a background plot of this new series that between the classic series and the modern series, there was this big war between the Doctor's people, the Time Lords, and their arch nemesis, the Daleks. And basically, the war was going to rip apart time and space. And so the Doctor had to commit a genocide of his own people in order to stop the war. So there's sort of this subtext of like, while the Doctor's accusing Jex of all of this stuff, he's getting angrier at himself at the same time because he's remembering all the stuff he had to do.
I picked up on a little subtext. I did not go into this knowing all of that, but he said some line, Jex, that was like what you're alluding to right now, something about like the Doctor's people.
Yeah. Like he said that looking in a mirror, I could see it's like, looking at you is like looking at a mirror. I can see rage. Another line that I really like from him is that you cannot judge me by the standards of peace. And I'm like, I don't know that I agree with that, but that's certainly a very like interesting morality.
it is. I enjoyed very much how that character wasn't as black and white. I mean, like, he is like essentially, I won't use the word Nazi, but like, he is like a scientist who has done like bad things, and I'm not like softening up on his like atrocities, by the way. People listening, don't get scared.
Don't get it
but
twisted.
It is interesting, like, like, I know he's bad and I agree and I'm good, not like him, he's bad. It is interesting though, like, the way he's able to get under the Doctor's skin, because, you know, the Doctor is also imperfect and even more imperfect than I knew in watching the episode, but I was able to pick up on some dark subtext there, and Matt Smith was really playing it great, really this rage and frustration.
Yeah, because there's a part of it where it's like, if you like, I had sort of wondered what you were vibing off of that, because Matt Smith is obviously playing this moment with all of that known to him, and that's why when he's like parading Jex out of town and throws him out and he points a gun at him, which is, the Doctor doesn't generally use guns. David Tennant's Doctor has a whole monologue about how he doesn't use guns. I have opinions on that, but
I definitely, as I was watching it, was like, oh, like, I know I can, I know that this is not normal behavior for the Doctor. And it also, you know, helps that Amy Pond, like, you know, says something about how he like went out and got stupid since they last saw each other or something to that effect. That's not the exact lessons. Line, but like, you know, she says something like that. And so it's great context clues for, you know, a newcomer to be like, oh, like he is behaving abnormally. But I mean, obviously, like, you know, I've seen the clips on YouTube and Facebook and stuff. I've seen enough Doctor Who clips to know that this isn't like a guy who like marches someone through town, like with a gun pointed at him. So I was like, I didn't necessarily know all the backstory, but I was like, I know that there's something, because he's playing it like there's something insanely large. And as it turns out, there is. I mean, what a horrible choice to have to make.
Yeah. Cause I also stumbled upon something that I'll just lovingly refer to as the Iron Giant conundrum,
mm-hmm.
of like when a gun doesn't want to be a gun. And like in this case, the Doctor isn't necessarily a gun, but he was just as deadly.
Mm-hmm.
And him not.
Well, the gunslinger doesn't want to be a gun.
Well, yeah. It was an ongoing thing.
It's two people who want normalcy
after they've been put in a situation where they had no good choices.
Yes, where they had no good choices. And unfortunately, it's a situation where one person has really wronged the other one. And so that, like, if it was something where it was like, yeah, we were both in the shit and I got like a little grudge, but like that can be like passed over. But like if it's the person who like turned you into like a monster, that is like, that's so difficult to reconcile. You both just want to like have houses and just like be part
we can't
of the community,
we can't sit down
like,
and have tea over you cutting my arm off and replacing it with a super
soaker. Exactly. Like at a certain point, like I either missed this or I'm forgetting it right now, was and not that this excuses anything, but I just question wise was the gunslinger like a willing participant in this cyborg program, or was he just someone who was like, or did he get scooped up and turned into that, or was he lied to?
The way it had been explained, or at least implied, I think, was that they had volunteered for some program, but they were not told the specifics of what was going to happen to them.
Ain't that always how it goes?
Ain't that just, don't you just hate it, folks, when you sign up for one of these, or for one of these trial programs, one of these little tests, and they carve part of your face out and replace it with a cyborg eye.
Mm.
Can you imagine looking in the mirror the first time after that? You'd snap. Like,
how very Montauk Louise. Boys of them.
Looks in the mirror. I need a cowboy hat.
Yeah, like I need to look, exactly what's gonna fix this.
I need to look the part.
And like, then we
it's
are
a little rough around the edges, but I know which aesthetic is going to go down with this.
And I'm forgetting who says it. I think it's the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
One of the doctors. We all carry our own prisons. Youch.
Yeah. They really like. I really like what because it feels like an authentic religious belief. That idea of like. When you Jex describes his people, when they die, their belief is that your soul has to climb a mountain, but it's burdened by the weight of all the people you've wronged.
Okay, Scrooge.
Yeah, very, very much Jacob Marley in his chains.
At least there's like an end point, though. I mean, like, it sounds like hard as hell, especially if you've like been bad. But like, at least it's like there's still like a top of the mountain in
but
this.
What if it's just like, what if we just merge stories together? What if it's just Sisyphus, where as soon as you get to the top, everybody pushes you back down and you got to do it all over again?
What if in that culture, that means that if you just get like super jacked, you can just sprint your way up no matter how many people
by
you
the
wronged.
Time you're allowed in, you've climbed it so many times and been kicked back down and climbed it and been kicked back down. By the time you make it back in, they open it up. They're all like, they look like the Chads from the memes. They're all roided out and they're like, well,
welcome, brother.
And like everyone in there is just like jacked to the max, doing like push-ups and like doing like weights, and they're like, "This is
everyone's
this is
6 foot
afterlife.
Nine.
Everyone's here. Yeah, everyone's 6 foot here.
Nine, got
everyone's
packs.
Had a great time
and
in the
veins
afterlife.
Are
yeah,
popping out like crazy.
Yeah, veins popping out. Some people got a steroid problem. It's fine. We look the other way in the afterlife. We got to deal
one of
with
the ghosts.
It at some point. Though.
It was one of the souls that gave him roids.
Yeah, on the Calder world, instead of getting a Eucharist wafer, they just pour protein powder into your open mouth.
Just dry powder.
They're like, come on, brother, crush it, brother. This is the afterlife.
Only the worthy doesn't need the liquid.
That's why Jex can't go home. He's too much of a dweeb compared to everybody else.
Because he has artificial modifications. Simply won't do.
He's got a super soaker arm. He's like, no.
Our other prominent guest character for this episode was the Marshal Isaac.
Yes,
oh,
Marshal Isaac.
You mean Christian Bale? Yes.
There was a moment when we were watching it where I like briefly was like, is that Christian Bale? Because like there was a shot in like one of his like earlier indoor scenes, like one of the shots kind of a little bit looked like it could be, you know, Christian Bale can like weight fluctuate like crazy for roles. I was like, it could be him. I kind of see it in the face, and I could never judge it by the body because like Christian Bale could be anyone.
Christian Bale could be anyone.
Christian Bale could be anyone. I'm scared every day. I'm scared every day. I'm gonna be like, wait a second. I'm gonna like look at my name, Christian B. Schmidt, and I'm gonna like see that there's a little bit of like paper curl up around like the B, and I'm gonna like be like, what is that? I'm gonna like pick at the paper and peel it, and like the dot of the B and then Schmidt are gonna like lift up as I peel this paper up, and it's gonna say Christian B. Ale, Christian Bale, and I'm gonna be like, no, I'm gonna
Rachel!
Run to the mirror, and I'm gonna run to the mirror, and I'm gonna realize that I am Christian Bale, who is caught in a character that he was trying to find and then got lost in it for countless years.
This a recurring nightmare you have?
This is something I just made up, but for the purposes of this pod, yeah, I dream of this every single night, and sometimes I like it.
I would find it very amusing if Christian Bale did finally sign up to work on a British TV show and he still can't use his Welsh accent. They still make him do his American one.
He's Welsh?
Yeah, he's Welsh. He just does a very good American accent, and so he doesn't get to do it a whole lot.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Here's the kicker. So Howl's Moving Castle is written, I think it takes place in Wales. Why do they not let him use his accent in that?
They're like, it was way too fucking Wales, dude. Like, we didn't know. Christian, calm down. Christian, we didn't know you were going to go that Wales with it. Okay, man.
That's really funny.
Yep, he is a Welshman. I like Isaac quite a lot. He's a very like.
If I had to turn into my grandma for a second, he seems earnest.
Yeah, he seems like a good dude. He really seems to think about
others.
Yeah, well, he moreover seems to think about like people getting second chances. Like seemed like he wasn't super surprised by the fact that that Jex had done wrong things before he came to Earth. He seemed more like he was like, well, this is America and he's done nothing wrong since he came here.
Ah, it's the land of second chances.
Yeah.
I think they said that like three or four times.
That is a crazy aspect of the episode too, is that like the Marshal's like, but like, you don't understand. Like, we don't know him as that guy. We know him as like the guy who like came in and like cured diseases and stuff. And like, I love Marshal Isaac's ability to just like roll with things. Like he's never like, wait a second, you're telling me it's like this? Like literally, like he only needs things explained to him like one time and he'll be like, whew, all right, well, what do we do next? And it's like, I fucking love a character like that. Like just like smart, ready to roll. Super understanding. He's not trigger happy. He like wants to like get all the stories straight.
Like, has just the sexiest mustache.
So down to play dress up.
He's so he's like, I gotta look the part. He and the gunslinger are having the same train of thought about their outfits for some reason, even though Marshall Isaac doesn't need to. He belongs in the cowboy outfit because he's a marshal of a cowboy town. That's a fun little joke. No, but he's great, and I, spoiler alert, hated that he passed away. I thought that was super lame, not like lame from like a artistic standpoint, but I was like, no, I like that guy.
Yeah,
no,
it very, very well played, very well written. I like the Marshall quite a bit. But
in that scene where he's, just to bring it back to the mask for a second, and of course the mask was referencing like old, you know, movies too, but like when, you know, the classic trope of like dying in someone's arms and being like, it's getting cold. and like that vibe definitely looked like that in like the best homage way.
He's saying, you're both a good man. You just forget it sometimes. And I'm like, you've known the doctor for like 2 hours.
But like he's a great judge of character.
If somebody said that to me,
because then he didn't know that Jex was a Nazi scientist, so maybe he's not that great of a judge of character. But you know what? He's a great judge of character. One thing's for sure is that he's a great judge of character.
If somebody said that to me as they are dying, about I'm a good person, I just forget it. Do you know how hard I'd be crying? My goodness.
You're a good person, Cassie. Do you need me to remind
Sometimes
you of
I
that?
I forget it. My back hurts so much. I'm evil right now.
It is like, I will say, and it's just nice to like hear. Like, it's nice. Like, it's nice when someone says that you're a good person.
It's
and
also
I thought
something
that was a really nice moment.
It's also something, too, where it's like, I know, like, if you say it, it's like, well, of course, we've been together now a very long time. Somebody I just met looks at me and goes, you're an extremely special person. You know that? Oh,
it's like, what did you see?
Thanks.
Yes, I agree. Just want to agree.
And then and as he's dying, he like gives the doctor his like little 6-pointed star and he goes, you're Jewish now.
I did have a little bit of an issue of the doctor immediately putting it on, but I was like, nah, it's just because I called it happening.
It's like, you know, listen, pasty white guys like us, we love to play cowboy. Like Matt Smith was probably so fucking stoked when he put that star on. And again, like not hating, like I thought it was a little cheesy. And at the same time, I was like, yeah, you rocked that star, man.
Rep the scrawny white sheriff.
It's like, hey, if the cyborg can fit in, so can you, brother.
I did like that when he became the marshal, he got this like cool black leather coat.
Yes, that was great.
Or sorry, not leather, velvet. It's like a black velvet coat. So he's also got, he went to the same store the gunslinger did and got his own little outfit.
Okay. We've already covered the gunslinger enough, but yeah, like I guess he took his clothes from like victims of his. Like, how else does he have all the right stuff? And it all matches, like in its own like weird fucked up.
So
like,
he killed one really big guy and then was like, perfect.
Or he killed like a
dang,
band. Like there was just like
all the right stuff.
There was like a band coming through for a concert. He's like, give me your clothes, your boots, and your carriage.
Like a thick, juicy band. Yeah.
He's like, like he could have Terminator'd when he first got there. He's like, give me your clothes, give me your motorcycle.
Oh my God. He robbed Kiss's tour bus.
I didn't really talk about it yet, but I need to hand out some Cassie for Fassy points today.
Yeah.
Because Christian, you were correct. The doctor does speak horse.
Yeah, her name is Susan.
Yeah,
my goodness.
Because the owner thinks his name is Joshua. And the doctor goes, no, his name is Susan, and he wants you to respect his life choices, which raises one or two questions. Is the horse still he, him, but chooses to go by Susan, or is the doctor misgendering that horse?
I think that we are the best people to speak on that question. Thank you for posing it.
we brought resident horse gender expert. Christian B. Schmidt. Yeah,
transgender horses, let's get into it. Where do they come from? Where do they go? Where do they come from, Cotton Eye Joe? I don't know why I went into that.
See, it was important they established that before he used him as transport.
Yes, transport. You know what? Do we ever hear the horse spoken to in a like when the doctor says their name is Susan and they want you to respect their life choices? Are they using like they pronouns
in that sentence?
I think it's just I think it's just the horse prefers the name Susan.
That could be.
I think that that has to be right, because I think it would be impossible to find out that the doctor is like a transphobe. So do you think there was someone named Susan in the town and the horse was like, ooh, name? Or do you think the horse came up? Or do you think that the horse thinks that it came up with the name Susan?
Like, just roaming through the store, like,
yeah,
so like, many names, like, ooh, name.
It must have heard it, or the horse really was just sitting around and was like, I need a new name. Don't like my name that much. Boobin, Boobin, Goosin, Susan, Susan, Susan. Ooh, that's fun. I like that. I just made that up.
And then the other question I had today was, what tips the doctor off that something's going on in this town? You had said some kind of...
I said robot future tech.
You said robot future tech. Christian, I think it's pretty clear that it was not any kind of alien creature.
No, there was no alien creature. There was no black hole. It was completely alien tech. Cassie gets all the points.
Well, that's the thing
and
is...
And you know what?
It wasn't technically alien tech. He just... He used his thing as a generator to
make
lights. I said
future tech.
But you did say future tech, and technically 10 years later is the future.
Future tech? You're going to tell me that the gunslinger is in future tech?
Well, that wasn't what tipped the doctor off. What tipped the doctor off was the lights.
Hey. Hey.
You know what?
I did say.
Because you said future tech, and 10 years later is technically the future, you do still get the point.
That's right, you bitch.
And then the little game I play with myself now, starting with this season, is me guessing ahead of time what's Cassie's favorite moment of the episode. Do you want to share with the class what your favorite moment is, or should I tell you my guess and you confirm or deny?
I think that my favorite moment might actually surprise you.
Okay.
The real explosion?
Honestly, that doesn't surprise me too much.
I don't know if that was real. I'm not 100%.
I'm not 100% either.
Was that real?
I think it was, just because there was a lot of like little bits and bobbles that fell from the sky afterwards.
So when the egg ship became a fried egg ship, that explosion was real. When you're like seeing it in the horizon and the smoke is popping, that's fake. But the actual...
Okay. That's where I got messed up, because I was... Wow, I'm so glad you vocalized that, because that was exactly what was tripping me up, was that the explosion looked real, and then there was one shot later where I could see some smoke, and I was like, that smoke doesn't look that real to me, but like, obviously, yeah, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for me, one of the telltale signs of an explosion being real is if there's a very sudden jump cut right before the explosion starts, because that means that they all had to go, all right, everybody, back away, back away, back away, and boom!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a toss up between the actually very real explosion or the hat choreography in the marshal's office.
Right. Well, I don't get the point for this thing, because I really thought you were going to be a big fan of the horse's name is Susan and he wants you to respect his life choices.
No, I didn't clock that. So
if I had been smarter about it
during that part. So that's I will say that you could have gotten that right if I hadn't been talking over that part.
Zach also did go over it.
Well, I realized in hindsight that part of the problem with that is that it was tied to a Cassie Profassi point. And so as soon as Cassie didn't get that point, she was immediately disappointed by the moment.
Yeah.
There was no hope for me in that, unless she just really thought that line was so funny it overcame her sadness.
Yeah, you didn't go with real explosion for me.
I don't know why I didn't.
I love practical effects,
I really, for some reason, thought you would just really laugh at a horse named Susan.
No, because we know an actual real life human being named Susan.
I love that you said that like it was a huge deal. You're like, no, like you need to understand something right now before we say one more thing.
The fantasy sci-fi name Susan. We know a real person with that name.
I know a Susan.
Yeah, or it makes me think of the Noise Boys, and
that shit is not funny.
You know.
Well.
Oh, we already said that. I My last note is literally just Westworld is the Marshal now, which I think is really funny.
Yeah, at the very end, as the Doctor's like walking his way into the TARDIS, which that's the only bummer is Christian didn't get to see the TARDIS.
Saw a little bit of it.
Yeah, but that would have been nice if he could have seen that for his first episode. But as he's walking back into the TARDIS, I heard you audibly go, "So who's the Marshal now?" And I just went, and then it cuts.
I was wondering aloud. I was like, we both of us were like, I guess, yeah, this is a town without a Marshal.
And then it does a slow montage of this little girl. And then you're like, oh, the little girl. No, the person talking is the little girl's granddaughter. And then
time passes. Oh, those generations.
And then you see the gunslinger. And it's doing like a slow motion pan around the Marshal badge that he is now wearing.
Had we heard her narration before that part of the episode, or was that the first and last time we heard?
It bookends the episode. It's at the very beginning and to the very end.
I thought that was the case. I just didn't want to be misremembering. Yeah. That's very True Grit.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that quite a bit, too. I'm glad you both had some good times here. I'm glad you got to see some Matt Smith, because apparently your wife seems to think that you're a lot like him.
My wife, her favorite doctor is the Matt Smith doctor. And then today she told me, I asked her very vainly. Sorry, listeners. I know I've been very annoying. I was like, right before I logged on, I was like, if I was like playing one of the doctors, which one do you think it would be? Like, and I don't know why, like, I do acting stuff. And so like, yuck. But like, it helps me, you know, tie things together. And she was like, oh, Matt Smith all the way. And so then I was like, oh, dang, I didn't anticipate that. I don't know what answer I was thinking.
Yeah, there's
so watching it, I was like, oh yeah, this guy's making big choices, which I love.
He talks a lot with his hands. He like his like hands move around. Yes. He likes doing big grand like looks with his face.
Yes, big facial expressions, big hands. I loved it. And he's a great doctor, and he killed it. And I love having seen him in something that wasn't Morbius, because that movie sucks. Just to reiterate for our listeners, Morbius, bad movie. Matt Smith does some fun dancing in it in one scene, though.
Well, because I also grossly misremembered, because I remembered you being a Hitchhiker's fan, but I could have sworn I would have given money to somebody if they said, or if there was a bet placed that you were also a Doctor Who fan. But I,
you know, that is that
I'm also remembering that the beginning part of our friendship was college. And also the thing that really bonded us together was very late night sleepovers and smoking a lot of weed.
Yes.
So,
yes, correct. Correct, correct. And we didn't watch Doctor Who. We watched a lot of SpongeBob seasons 1 through 3. And, please.
And then I would watch you and Flo play a lot of Mario Kart Double Dash.
Yes, that game is hard as hell to like get into. Like, if you've been playing modern Mario Kart or like any other Mario Kart, you sit down at Double Dash, you're like, wow, this steering is so fucked, this world is so hard to like navigate for like a little bit, unless I'm wrong, and maybe I'm just bad at the game. But we got really good at it, and Cassie would watch, and that's when we were becoming friends.
Yep.
And that's when we should have been discovering that I hadn't seen Doctor Who. But I don't know.
I mean, neither
I don't know
had
where
I.
Our heads were at.
Neither had I. That's why we started this whole stupid podcast.
Well, maybe we'll play some Mario Kart Double Dash on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
No. Don't give me hope. We won't do that.
Cassie, that was such a clean close.
No, it wasn't. Because we have to like truly be nice and say thank you so much, Christian,
yes,
for coming
Christian.
On and humoring me.
Do you want to?
Thank you so much.
I know your projects aren't generally online, but do you want to go ahead and plug the projects that you do have that you are a part of?
Sure. I don't get up to that much, but I do a lot of sketch comedy at a comedy theater in Los Angeles called The Pack, and I'm on a team there called Kickball, and we are on social media as @kickballcomedy, one word, no spaces, no brackets, whatever, underscores, and we have all of our sketches filmed and put on YouTube. So if you ever, and they're also organized in little playlists. So if you're like, oh, I only want to watch the sketches that this guy wrote, I highly doubt you're going to have that thought. But if you're that one person having that thought, then you can go on there and look just for the sketches written by Christian B. Schmidt playlist and then watch them. Some of them are better than others.
That is the way most things work.
And we just did the Austin Sketch Fest as a team, which was a lot of fun. So also, shout out to the Austin Sketch Fest. You guys are doing really cool stuff out there, doing great sketch comedy, and you were all really great to work with. So if any of you ever hear this, you guys were great.
Well, so glad you could be here. I'm glad you had a good time. We won't have a guest next week. Next week, we're going to... the doctor will actually be a guest. He'll be a guest in the Pawn's home for an entire episode.
Oh, my goodness.
And we'll find out about that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is my doctor? Christian, interrupt. I don't know how to do this now.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I'm so sorry.
Who is indeed?
I thought we were all asking who is indeed...
Who's indeed? Did we invite him to dinner?
Hello, all my whim dudes. Did we ever come up with a name for you guys? I feel like we should have done that by now. Thank you, Wimdy Pod fans. We'll workshop it. We'll talk about it. So if you've got an idea, please tell me. You could message us on social media. That's Blue Sky, Twitter, and Threads at Wimdy Pod. That's WIMDPOD. You can also find all of these, as well as all the places you could subscribe to this podcast, over at our website, WIMDPOD.com. WIMDPOD.com. I'm very tired right now. I will admit it's very late. I've been editing this much later than I thought I was going to be, but here I am. I really enjoyed this episode, though. It was one of the hardest I've ever laughed recording one of these episodes. Christian's a great dude. We were very lucky to have him be willing and able to join us. And I don't think we would have come up with half these bits without him. I am so glad this all came together the way it did. I would like to give a special thanks to our Patreon, especially to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, and Travis Aiken. If you would like to join them for as little as $1 a month, you can get episodes of this podcast a whole week early, as well as sometimes little bonus episodes. We did one a couple of weeks ago on the Pond Life short. We might do some more in the future. We'll see what happens. Otherwise, next Tuesday, we get to find out what the Power of Three is all about. Well, I mean, I already know. Cassie will find out what the Power of Three is all about as she finds out about the telly. So we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days. See you then.